bring the word.
Wow, well, praise the Lord. It is great to be here. And we'll start with a little bit of information for any of you who are wondering what we're doing. So first, let's pray, though. And Father, we do thank you for the body of Christ. Thank you for this church. And we do thank you for your word, which brings light. We do pray that the entrance of your word will truly dwell within us, that we will know you long before we know your will. And then we will know your will as we fellowship and commune with you. Bless this time in your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We used to go to Longfellow's for our anniversary every year, so this will be nice. And I understand the concern of the family people, but I remember some of our greatest memories as a child were when my parents would leave. They know exactly what I'm talking about. My oldest brother would be responsible as the babysitter. Four boys, all 1 year apart. Yeah, the super glue was, you know, always needed to make sure the place looked a little bit like it did when they left. But it is important for parents also to have time as adults in a life with wonderful children. So we're looking forward to that personally. We'll be there. We haven't been to Longfellow's in a very long time. So that'll be precious. Just a few things about us. Some of you I don't even know. Many of you I don't know, and that's wonderful. This church began in a basement, Pastor Moore's father's basement, as I recall. And Jane came to that Bible study one day, my wife, and she stayed, and she grew in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, went on to the mission field, and that's where I found her. And then we both went into Bible college and into missions together. So there are some of you who came through. I know that the Petersons, Susan Peterson and some others, came in through that Bible study at Ernie Moore's house. Others came in through Lake Hill Road. That's where I came to the church when it was over on Lake Hill Road and off of Route 50. Spent many wonderful years there learning, being discipled by Pastor Moore and by Larry Sweeney in the teen ministry, finding God's call for my life as well as the corporate vision there. And then, as you know, some of you came in through the, I don't know, do you call it the Hannaford Church or did you call it the Maltimore Church? Exit 11 Church. Okay, that's better. That was a great time, great season for the church. And now here you are in Malta, Exit 12 Church, I suppose you could say. You can't say that?
Going up.
Oh, going up, yeah. Yeah, okay. So soon it'll be the 13 Church. But you've all come in through various ways, maybe a friend, a neighbor, a radio program, somebody evangelizing on the streets, word of mouth, various ways God leads us into churches. And God has put us together as one body. I want to consider that a little bit today in the message. But this is where I was discipled. This is where I learned that God was real. I knew God was real, but I didn't see him real in my life. I saw him real as a God and as a creator and even as a savior. But I didn't know him as the God of my life, as the gracious, merciful authority in my life until I started coming to church, until a pastor would say, let's open our Bibles. And, of course, now we say, let's open our apps or whatever we have, our tablets. But same thing. It's still the Word of God, no matter how we see it and what font it is of. And once that began to happen, I began to really internalize God and more make him more applicable to the details of my life. And I know that that's what's happening in all of your lives also. We don't know. It's I don't know that when Pastor Moore was a young man in his father's basement leading a Bible study, even before he went to Bible college, as a necessity, really, if he ever imagined what he sees here today. Could we imagine that? That this is, you know, that these, this great, wonderful body of Christ here in Malta would be what the fruit of those early Bible studies would be. When I look at the church in Albania and I consider that there are Albanian men preaching and teaching Bible college classes and going on evangelism, I could never have imagined that would have happened. And I was asked to be part of the Samaritan's Purse one Christmas season with the giving out of the boxes, which is a wonderful ministry, Franklin Graham. And they asked me, how do you keep from getting burnt out in your ministry? And the answer is, I know it's grace. I know that it's not me. I can't do anything. In John 15:5, it says that. Without God, without Christ, we can do nothing. And as long as we know that we are, you know, vessels, earthen vessels, filled with his treasure, then we won't burn out. We won't have that time where we feel like we're striving. The grace message, the message of understanding that it is God who gives us, enables us by his Spirit, gifts us by his Spirit, and even calls us by his Spirit, when we know that he is the man that is doing the whole everything, then it makes it so much easier for us to do anything. Today, the Albanian church is celebrating Thanksgiving. They went out to a restaurant together. Now, you know, maybe you think, well, of course. Well, not in other countries. This is a exclusively American holiday, as you know. But every year we would celebrate it in Albania, and we would actually find a live turkey, say, we want that one. 3 hours later, it was in this grocery bag, still warm, but plucked and gutted. Yeah, and it was delicious. I mean, it was better than any butterball you're ever going to eat. So that was Thanksgiving. We would actually pick the turkey from the backyard of somebody's village house. But they're continuing that, which was really, for me, it was a huge blessing to hear that they are going to continue that Thanksgiving celebration in the body. So I was blessed by that. We have Bible colleges still going on. They actually have more students now than they had when I was teaching. So again, you know, I have no problem with that. I am in no way offended or, you know, jealous of them. I am very, very pleased. But for us, we came back to the United States in the beginning of August, and we had a return flight to Toronto the beginning of January. And that was the way we were planning on doing it until sometime in May that God revealed to Jane and I that it was time for us to give the church over. Pastor Ronaldo Brown mentioned that missionaries are like the scaffolding that builds a building. You build it with the scaffolding, and it's necessary. It's part of the building process. But once the building is built, you remove that scaffolding, and you have the building left. And that's what we did. We took off the scaffolding, and now they are standing, and they are standing well. They are founded on Christ, and they're growing together as the body. So we decided that it would not be we would not be going back in January. And just a few days ago, I was able to push my return flight to the 1st of August. We may not even use that flight. We don't know. But right now, we are in the United States, and we are waiting for God's next call. We love the Balkans. Probably that's where we'll end up. Probably it will be on the 1st of August. And there are visions for Montenegro, for Bosnia-Herzegovina, even for Macedonia, different countries in the Balkans that really need the gospel. And, you know, this church is the one that really planted that church. I mean, you may say Pastor Dennis did, but no, it was the fruit of this ministry that planted the church in Tirana. And we do pray that God would plant another church or multiple churches in the Balkans, again, as sister churches of this church in Malta. I just, again, want to thank everyone who has prayed for us, who has supported us financially. We know that God did an amazing work and even multiplied the monies that came in. for his purpose. So I just want to thank you. And now for this season, from now until August or whenever, my desire is to serve you, is to just be a minister for you all, to serve under Pastor Moore and his vision for your church, and to invest back and give back to this church, to you all. So I will be available for fellowship and dinners and fishing and hunting and whatever else. Yeah. So we will be here for striper season. We'll be here for the start of trout season and even bass season. So praise the Lord. And Southern Zone opened a couple of days ago. Yes. So anyway. Now, Pastor Moore did offer to let me teach a Bible college class or two. So if there is a desire, and don't consider, Bible college. It's not. It's just growing in the grace and knowledge of God. It's growing in the Bible. So if you want a Bible college class for me to teach it for you, I would love to do that as God leads. All right. So anyway, that's enough about me. I think I need a job, by the way. It's in my notes. So I don't have a job now. So if any, and just pray for that, I guess. I was just thinking three people that I just want to remember just, and maybe I do this often, but I don't care. Anise, remember Anise? Yeah. Martha Karowski, yeah. Lorraine Hewlett. I don't usually call her Lorraine. I usually call her Mom. Pastor Stevens began his church in Maine because three women prayed. Old women. I'm sorry, Mom, but you know. I mean, come on, you know, you're old, I mean. and they prayed for a pastor, and a pastor came to Maine. His name was Pastor Carl Stevens. And, of course, the rest is history. There are churches all over the world, missionaries all over the world because of that answered prayer. And all the while we were in Europe, I knew those three ladies met every Thursday, and those three ladies were praying for us and for you and for your church. And just again, want to thank my mom and Martha and Anise. I think, is Anise with the Lord? Or? She's with the Lord. Okay, well, she's listed again. Just that message from the class today on prayer is so important for us to always bathe everything in prayer and have a sweet communion with the Lord in our prayer life. God does hear. God does answer. All right, so let's open our Bibles or our apps to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And again, Father, we commit this time to you. We need to hear from you, Lord, so we pray that you would give us that today. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. I don't know if we'll want to read it all together, but we'll start here. In verse 1, it says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." And as I was saying, even while we were in Bulgaria, when the field was not as ripe to harvest as it was in Albania, we never felt weary, we never felt faint because of God's mercy. We always had that sense that God was doing a work. And here it says that we have this ministry that we received, and we faint not. Now, maybe you're wondering, where do I fit in this church? What is my ministry? Now, when we think of ministry, we think of music ministry, teen ministry, children's ministry. But there are other ministries that don't have a label like that. And it's important to be part, as we're part of the church and part of the body of Christ, that maybe we don't serve in the music or teens or whatever ministry, but we are all ministers. We are all given the same spirit in 1 Corinthians 12. Every one of us has been given the same spirit. Every one of us has been given gifts by that spirit. And more, we have been given dunamis. We've been given an enablement. And, of course, we can sit here and we can say, well, I don't feel it. You know, I don't sense that God has given me any special gift or anything. I mean, we don't. You know, we're not like superheroes. We're not like Thor with a magic hammer or anything. We're just people. And sometimes we wonder, do we have what? I don't have that. I can't preach. I can't sing. I can't. But no, that God has given you something. And even if you don't know it, God knows what he's doing. God has a ministry for you. You are ministers. And the kind words in Ephesians 4:29 that we minister grace every time we speak edifying words. And that we try in purpose not to let corrupt communication proceed out of our mouths. But those that ministers grace. And in verses, I just want to skip down here to verse 6. Actually, verse 4. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, which is the image of God, should shine unto them. That's a really profound verse right there. So we'll leave that up for a little while. The God of this world. Now, we understand there's spiritual warfare going on. We're not ignorant of Satan's devices in our own lives and in the world around us. We see it. It is very obvious that Satan is working overtime to try to blind the eyes of the world. But this glorious gospel, yesterday they were out in Washington Park, and they were telling people the glorious gospel, just giving them that simple message that Jesus saves, that he loves you, that he has a plan for you, that he died for you, and you can go to heaven if you put your faith in him. It's a simple message, but it is the light of the glorious gospel. And if it penetrates and shines into their heart, as it says here in verse 6, God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, and has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I taught physics to Ruth, and I'm not, you know, I don't think I'm the smartest person in the room, definitely. I can, definitely. But, you know, if some of you that homeschool, you know that you just kind of go through school with your children. You don't have to be a physicist to teach physics, you just have to be a little smarter than the kids. Yeah, if you're a little smarter than the kids, you're brilliant. And so I was teaching physics to Ruth, and they were talking about the refraction principles of different media, media, I'm just going to leave it there. Diamonds, for instance. And I didn't know this because I'm thinking, being a guy, you don't buy real flowers, you buy the fake flowers because they last longer. Right, and that's bad. Just in case you're wondering, that's bad information. Women like the flowers that die. I know, it seems ridiculous to us, but for them, it's not. But again, even with diamond rings, okay. So maybe some of you are thinking, yeah, be careful, because if you try to go with the glass ones or the cubic zirconia ones, and think she'll never know. She'll know, and it won't be good for you. Okay, so be careful. You gotta go with the diamond. You can go with a little one. She'll love a little one, but don't go for the fake ones, because there's a principle involved, a principle of physics when it comes to how a diamond shines. I didn't know this until April, when I was doing teaching in Ruth. But there are three principles of how a light reacts to a diamond. It is reflection, refraction, and dispersion. And when I was thinking of that, I thought of how the light of the gospel enters us, how we receive that word, that gospel, and the light of this word in our lives changes us. And we know, because of the grace of God, we know it is a reception. We are receiving that light. We are not generating that light. When it says in Matthew how, let your light so shine, I really don't like that verse, but I know God put it there, so we're going to have to live with it. But I think we abuse it by thinking that somehow we're generating that light. And we're not generating that light. That light is coming from God. And in Genesis chapter 1, the first thing he did was he said, let there be light. And he divided the light from the darkness, but he had not yet made the sun and the moon. I think that's day three is when he makes the heavenly bodies. But he made light. He is light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And that light comes into us in salvation. We are saved by his mercy. In Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness, which we have done. I mean, come on. What could we have done to earn or deserve salvation? In Psalm 116, it says, I will simply take the cup of salvation to render back to God all of his benefits. All I can do is thank him for his salvation. How great is salvation, it says in the book of Hebrews. So we are saved by mercy. In Ephesians chapter Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. You can't go to heaven. None of us can. By our own light, by our own deeds, by our own being of a good person. We only go to heaven if our sins have been paid for on the cross. Now, he paid for all the sins of the world in 1 John 2:2, but we have to apply that blood by faith. We stand in grace, but we access that grace by faith in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. But once we have received it, he has called us out of darkness into light. And now that light, that glorious gospel which shined into our hearts, is doing three things. It is reflecting. It is changing us into his glory. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass or in a mirror the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We are changed into his image. Progressively, he is revealing himself to the inner man, the new heart, like Pastor Shala was saying today in the class. He gives us a new heart, but we have to change our mind. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, we need to have our mind transformed by the renewing of the word and not to be conformed to the world, which is blinding us. And this is what I was thinking concerning the diamond, because a diamond, as you take it out of the mine, it doesn't really look like much. It's just, you know, it's, we say, a diamond in the rough, right? It requires precision cutting for it to shine at the maximum level. The principles of a diamond, it actually slows down the speed of light as it goes through that media. But it also refracts it. It bounces it around inside is what basically, you know, that's the way I taught it to Ruth, I think. It doesn't just bounce off, but it goes into the diamond and it bounces around those different cuts. And as it does, the light is, gives off those colors that we love. In 1 Peter chapter 4, in verse 10, it says, as every man has received the gift, even so minister. There's that word minister again, by the way. That's not a coincidence. I actually studied that. That's why it's not a coincidence. But the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. That word manifold in this verse in the Greek is we have received the gift, minister. The word minister is logizomai, and comes from the root logos, which is the word. And then we minister, we give the word, or we transfer the word. But the word manifold here means multifaceted, and it's as you would see on a diamond. There are many cuts to a diamond, many edges. And we have received a many-edged grace of God. We have grace for all things. And we have to be sensitive to apply it, to see the grace of God, to see the word behind the word, the God behind the circumstances, even the God in the furnace at times, because God is, by his grace, doing a process of cutting. I mean, that sounds kind of cruel, but in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, right? The word of God, it is alive, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing. And as that verse goes, I never had that one memorized, so, but the first part I think I got right. Dividing even to the dividing the soul and the spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now we get saved by mercy and we receive salvation by grace. However, he has given us the word, and he's given us a pastor teacher. He's given us the Holy Spirit, and he wants us to be changed into his image. We do not have to. God will not violate our believer priesthood. But why would we? When we go through life, if we're looking always upon the situation, always upon the details or I'm going through a trial. I hear that too often. You know, I even hurt my back a few days ago. Praise the Lord. It's completely, I thought I broke it, but I guess I was just exaggerating because it feels great. But someone said, it's a trial. And I'm thinking, that's not a trial. It's a sore back. You know, come on. I'll never forget. This was decades ago. I was still in this church. I don't even know if I had been to Bible college yet. But Pastor Moore, I'm sorry to expose you like this, but he was going through a very difficult trial. And I asked him about it. And you know what he did? Here it is 2018, and I still remember vividly his response. He quoted Jeremiah chapter 17, and he said, I just trust the Lord. It says in Jeremiah 17, verse 7, it says, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters and shall spread out her roots by the river, shall not see when the heat comes, but her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Just that trust in the Lord, because in this life we'll have tribulation, of course. But we can even have our identity in Christ as how he deals with our situation and always have that kind of between us. Okay, God, here's my problems. What are you going to do about it? Here's my trial. Here's my testing. What are you going to do? Instead of simply saying, hey, God, I'm just going to hang with you in this trial, in this temptation, in this area of need in my life, and I'm just going to sit quietly with you, even as the Hebrew boys did in that furnace in the book of Daniel. And I know we're going to get through, but I'm not going to watch that. I'm not going to focus on that. I'm going to focus on you and let you be the one to take care of life as I walk with you. And I never forgot that. And to think that I can focus on the trials and have my identity in Christ be how he deals with my trials, and whether or not I am, is God being good to me today or is God being bad to me today? That's not, God is good to us today, tomorrow, every day. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. That's not the kind of God he is. He's the God that has shown his light into us. But at the same time, he is cutting. He's doing a process of molding us into his image. And in that passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we see in verse 2, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. You see, God, by his grace, is doing a process of cutting, and his word is quick, and it's powerful, and it is sharper than any two-edged sword. And we must allow him to take our heart and mold it and say, Lord, I need you. I need to know you. I need to think with you. Have your mind, even your emotions. Jane gave an amazing message on God's answering prayer and God's wrath. I wish I could have been a fly on the wall for that one. But to know God and to be conformed into his image. And that is the refraction process also. As the light penetrates and goes into the deep, dark corners of our lives and of our souls, where he finds those blind spots, those chambers of imagery, as it says in the book of Ezekiel, those areas that we haven't given over to God. God is merciful, and he shines the light on it. And he says, okay, let's look at this. And we can say, no, God, that door's closed. You can't go in there. Or we can say, all things are exposed to you. In Hebrews chapter 4, I believe it's verse 13, the next verse, it says that we are naked before him. Let's allow that. And let's even let iron sharpen iron, as it says in Proverbs. So be around people who are not afraid. And, of course, be careful. We need to, as Galatians 6 says, we need to be meek if we go to a friend, a brother, or sister. Please, you know, we don't need to be divisive. We don't need to destroy people. If we don't know how to do it, then don't do it. Just pray for them. You know, if you can't go to somebody with meekness and grace and love, then don't go to them. Just pray for them and hope the best for them, right? But iron sharpens iron. We have men's breakfast. I was up at Pastor DeDesus' church in Montreal, and they were scheduling a men's breakfast. And they asked a church that had a big community room if they could use it. And they said, sure. And the guy says, hey, we used to do men's breakfast here. But one time during the men's breakfast, somebody stood up and said, I want to read from the Bible. And the people went crazy. They said, no, we came here for breakfast. We didn't come here to hear the Bible. We hear it on Sundays. And Pastor James was like shocked. And they stopped doing their men's breakfast because somebody had the audacity to open a Bible. I heard that before in this church. The West, Isabel and what was his name? Ruth West in the West. He said, the thing I love about your church is that people stay. People come to a discipleship class at 9 o'clock. You gotta push people out the door at 1:30 or something because they still haven't left Sunday morning service. And the West said that we love that so much about Greater Grace Community Church that the people don't want to leave. They want to go to a men's breakfast and open up the word and hear a word for men. They want to go to a women's brunch and hear a word for women because we want to open the Bible because we want to be conformed into his image. We want to have those edges cut away so that more light can penetrate and refract within us. I'll never forget that. We were at Tammy Westcott's house having lunch, and he said that. He said, I love that about this church, because I was in a church that said, we don't want the Bible open except on Sunday. We're going to get beaten up on Sunday morning, but we don't want to hear about it on Monday or Tuesday. Legalism will do that. Ignorance will do that. The grace of God will never do that when we know that it is the grace, and this word is powerful. This word, you know, is what keeps us alive, which changes us, and gives us the answers to the trials and problems in life. That word for manifold in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, it's the same word that we find in two other places in the New Testament. We find it, kind of like way off, in James chapter 1, verse 2. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials. And then in the second time it's found is in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, wherein you greatly rejoice, though for a season need be you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. So we see in 1 Peter 4, 10, this manifold grace of God, this many-sided grace of God that helps to, when the light penetrates through the word, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. When Christ penetrates our heart and he refracts his light around us and we are built up by his word, it's also for these situations that when I am in heaviness through many temptations, many trials, many testings, I have many-sided grace. That God is going to refract truth to that area of my life and he's going to reveal the truth through his light, through his word, and through the body of Christ. So in both of those verses, James chapter 1, verse 2, and in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, same word used for trials. Same word used for the grace of God. So in that passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, when it talks about these, we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, and on it goes, it's those areas that we have begun to allow God to do a little bit of a cutting process that he removes. It says in 2 Timothy 2:15, I believe it is, to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that doesn't need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, so that we are being changed into his image. So we are reflecting his glory. We are refracting his truth in the inner parts of our soul. But then the last one is there's a dispersion. And that's because a diamond actually works as a prism. And it cuts the visible light into its different colors. So we see the color spectrum come out. That's why, you know, if the women want to just look at their rings real fast and just do one of these, you see all of the pretty colors that come out of the ring. This is the dispersion of the light. And this we see in the body of Christ. We are a light to the Gentiles. We are a light to the lost world. We are a light to one another as the light is dispersed amongst us. And it's not always the same color. Sometimes it's green, sometimes it's blue. They took indigo out of the spectrum. I don't know why. I think it's a conspiracy or something. Used to be 7 colors in the spectrum. Now there's 6. I don't know why. I don't know what indigo did to get kicked out of the club, but again, I learned that in physics this past year. I'm like, where'd it go? So I think it's a conspiracy, so I'll just have to research that. But that's why I say in Ephesians 4:29 that we don't let corrupt communication come out of our mouths, but we disperse. We give that grace. We minister the grace to one another. And as we do this, the body of Christ receives the fullness of Christ as we see it in each other. That we all are light. And again, I don't want to be like hyper-spiritual, like, you know, this, you know, like some type of a new age light. We're talking about Jesus Christ. You know? But that light, he says in John chapter 1, that light has shined unto men. Every man has seen that light. And either the God of this world has blinded it, or it has shined through. The glorious gospel has saved us. And then the glory of gospel changes us, and then the word of God does a work of forming us into his image, that we reflect his glory and that we refract it into our souls as we grow in that grace and knowledge, and then we disperse it out to one another, out into the Washington Park or Congress Park or the grocery store or wherever we have an opportunity to share the gospel. That's, you know, the light of the knowledge of Christ in the inner man. It's beautiful. And we are the precious jewels, as it says in Malachi. We'll close at that verse in Malachi. It's beautiful. This is you, and this is I. We are precious stones, aren't we? Doesn't it say that? And in Malachi chapter 3, verse 17, and they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a mare spares his son that serves him. That's us. We are his diamonds. We are his jewels. And he is the light. He is the source of the light. We are the receivers of that light. So let's pray. And Father, we thank you for the glorious gospel, which one day we received and we answered, yes, Lord, save me. We thank you for that gospel. Today, maybe you're here for the first time. I don't know many of you. I don't know you yet. Hopefully I will. But please, do you know if you will be in heaven on the day of your death? If you are not absolutely certain, you can leave this room absolutely certain. What you need to do is just put your trust in Jesus Christ. understand that when he came to this earth, he was God with us. We celebrate his birth in another month. Know that he was God. That man, Jesus Christ, was God. And he came to this earth for you to die on a cross to pay for your sins. Please, you are saved by his mercy. You are saved by his grace. Please receive him today. Do not let another day go by. If you believe in Jesus Christ that he paid for your sins, just simply say, yes, Jesus, be my Savior. I receive you by faith. And today everyone is praying, and I know that some are praying specifically that somebody would be saved. If you've prayed that today, you've never done it before, but you want to go to heaven and you believe today in Jesus Christ, would you lift your hand up so I could see to know that someone has received Christ today as their Savior, has never done it before? Is there one? Well, Father, thank you for the glorious gospel. We pray that it would penetrate our souls and that it would do a work, and that your word would do a work, that your spirit would do a work, that we would know you more fully, know you even as we are known, as you make up your jewels. In Jesus' name, amen.